From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, the much-anticipated vote in the Senate, the U.S. Senate, on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act is scheduled to happen within the hour. One of the newest pro-life champions to join the Senate, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, joins me in just a moment from just outside the Senate chamber where the debate has already begun. And as you will recall, President Trump went on the offense in his State of the Union address against the infanticide measures from New York and Virginia. The president's forceful challenge, combined with the left's overreach, appears to have resulted in one of the most sizable shifts on record in public opinion, according to a new Marist poll. I'll talk with Andrew Walther, Vice President of Strategy and Communications for the Knights of Columbus. Also at the bottom of the hour, I'll address the surprising R rating for the new movie, pro-life movie, Unplanned, which hits the big screens the end of March. I've watched the movie. It depicts the true story of Abby Johnson, who oversaw 20,000 abortions at a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. Now, R ratings are given for nudity, profanity, and violence. There is no nudity or profanity. So is the MPAA saying that abortion is violent? Sean Carney, who is portrayed in the movie by Jared Lotz, joins me later in the program. Also, we'll be taking your phone calls on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as we speak, the U.S. Senate is engaged in one of its most defining debates, deciding whether or not America will protect babies born alive as a result of botched abortions or allow infanticide to go unchecked in America. One of the Senate's newest and most vocal pro-life champions, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who also serves on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we're going to get an update from him on one of the nominees currently before that committee, has just stepped off the Senate floor to join us. Senator Hawley, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me, Tony.
Well, I want to get to some activity before the Judiciary Committee. Before we do that, all eyes, at least pro-life eyes, are focused right now on the U.S. Senate. This is a defining moment. Give us an update. What's happening?
Well, we're going to vote here in just a little bit, just about an hour, on a bill that says something very simple and something you would think that every person of goodwill could agree to. It says that every baby born in this country, no matter where they're from, no matter the circumstances of their birth, if they are born, they are entitled to receive medical care. And that includes babies who were the targets of attempted abortions. If a baby had an abortion attempt made on its life, but she survived it and she is born alive, she should get the same medical care as any other baby would. You wouldn't think that this would be controversial, Tony, but unbelievably, I think the Democrats are going to try to block it tonight on the floor of the Senate. I'm going to be proud to cast my vote for it. I'm proud to be one of the sponsors of this bill. I'm proud of Ben Sass, who is leading the charge on this. And, you know, it's an important defining vote, as you said.
Senator Hawley, let me ask you this. I mean, I know the pro-life members, in fact, there's a new pro-life caucus in the Senate that is growing in number, and so there is no hesitation to go and make the arguments for life. But are there Democrats, are there others on the other side of this issue willing to make the arguments that we should allow infanticide in this country?
Well, you listen to what Virginia Governor Ralph Northam said just a couple of weeks ago, you know, talking about if an infant who is the target of abortion is born alive, then she should be kept comfortable. Those are her words, or his words, rather, Tony, you remember, kept comfortable while doctors decide what to do with her, what to do with the baby. I mean, this is extraordinary. The idea that a baby born in this country could have her life depend on the whim of a doctor or anybody. I mean, we're talking about, this isn't even about abortion. This is about babies who have been born, are living. So it is imperative that we protect all babies, no matter where they're from, no matter to whom they're born, that they be protected in law. That's what we're going to try to do tonight. And if indeed the Senate Democrats block this, it will be a sad, sad day for this country.
Well, even if they do that, the issue is not gone. The House is moving forward to with a discharge petition. It'll be in place the first part of April, and so they'll have to gather 218 signatures to force a vote over there. But this issue is not going away. And this is a defining moment for America, this issue, the vote today. But for you personally, this life issue is not just another political issue. It's not just another policy issue. You're very passionate about this issue, and you made that very clear in your campaign for the Senate. And speaking of that, I want to ask you about one of the nominees that's currently before the Judiciary Committee. You've expressed concern on a circuit court nominee, Naomi Rao, because you're questioning her position on life. Can you explain to our listeners your concern?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have taken the same pledge and position that the president has taken, which is to support judges who respect life. And to me, Tony, that means judges who recognize that the unborn are vulnerable, that they have interests, that they have rights, even under existing law, and that those need to be protected, that judges who will allow states and local governments, like my home state of Missouri, to protect the unborn to the maximum extent that's possible under current Supreme Court law. And of course, I want judges who are not going to extend the what's called substantive due process doctrines of abortion, which I think are just deeply incompatible with the Constitution. So I'm serious about that. It's very important to me that we get, no matter who the judge is, no matter what the court, that we get judges on the bench who respect the Constitution, who respect life. And I've said that as to this particular nominee, Naomi Rao, that I am looking for evidence that she does respect the constitutional boundaries, that she does respect life, and that she will be someone who will not go side with the liberals on this issue, but will respect and protect to the maximum extent she can under current law the interests and rights of the unborn.
And this is, I mean, you're simply asking questions, which is what you're supposed to do on the Judiciary Committee to vet these candidates as they come before you. But let me ask you, historically, when we've had candidates, and I say as a country, we've had judicial nominees that have been uncertain, or at least it's been unclear, normally that doesn't turn out so well.
No, that's the great danger, of course, is that you have nominees who say that they haven't thought about it, or that they don't really know, and they have no particular track record and nothing you can point to. And then, you know, over time, they move ever left. You know, whether it's on the appellate courts or on the U.S. Supreme Court, it's the ever leftward march. And we've seen that far, far too often. Judges who started out seeming pretty conservative, seeming like a faithful constitutionalist, then they become less and less so over time. So that's why I think, it's our job, those of us who have the responsibility of voting one way or another on these judges, to make sure we do our homework, to make sure that we don't just take anybody's word for it, but we ask the tough questions, that we press and get answers, and we discharge our constitutional duty to uphold our Constitution and the laws.
When you look at, in particular, this circuit, this is the a circuit that often Supreme Court justices are drawn from, at least nominees for the Supreme Court. This is where, if I'm not mistaken, Kavanaugh came from. So this is an important position. And just because someone is nominated at a circuit court level, at that point, you really need to be thinking, is this someone who could serve on the Supreme Court?
Well, there's no doubt that the D.C. Circuit is a very prominent court. You're right. This is actually Judge Kavanaugh's seat. Now, Justice Kavanaugh's seat that we're talking about here, but Justice Kavanaugh came from this circuit. Justice Scalia, Justice Ginsburg, all came from this circuit. Justice Thomas. It's produced a lot of Supreme Court justices, and it's a very, very prominent court. But I think the obligation is on us, Tony. Again, those of us who've sworn an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, to use our best judgment for every judge, especially on these courts of appeals, to make sure that they are folks who will adhere to the Constitution and will protect life, again, to the maximum extent they can under existing case law. And that's a question I'm asking of every judge that comes before us. And I think I owe it, at least, to the people of my state to do that due diligence, to ask those tough questions and to get answers.
Well, I think you made reference to this earlier. The president made this pledge when he was candidate Donald Trump for president. He said, I will select, and he used the terms pro-life judges. He said that. I was in the room when he made that comment in the third debate. He put forth a list of judicial nominees, and he has stuck to that. And as you said, you've made the same pledge that you are going to appoint judges who are pro-life, who understand the boundaries of the Constitution. So I think, number one, I think that's the duty of a senator on the Judiciary Committee to ensure that we have judges that will abide by the Constitution. But it's also what you pledge to do. So no surprises here.
It is. And, you know, President Trump has been tremendous at this. I mean, he is the first president in a long time to just say flat out, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm not going to be shy about it. I'm going to put pro-life judges on the bench. And as a pro-life man myself, I mean, to hear him say that was just incredible. And to see him do it has been even more incredible. So I salute him and his hard work on this. And I'm trying to, as I say, follow the same exact pledge here and ask of this nominee for this D.C. circuit and every nominee, do they meet that test, the test the president articulated?
Well, I, for one, appreciate that and want those hard questions asked. And, you know, at the end of the day, she may be fine, and that's great. But then at the end of the day, she may not be. And so we need to know, and the questions need to be answered. So I appreciate you asking him, and appreciate you coming on the program as well, Senator Hawley. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks so much, Tony.
All right, Senator Josh Hawley's got to get back on the Senate floor pretty soon. They'll be voting on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It's still not too late for you to put phone calls in. If you've not yet called your two United States senators, they will be voting within the hour. The switchboard number 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Of course, if you have the Stand Firm app, all of that's right there at your fingertips. And I would encourage you, if you've not yet downloaded the app onto your smartphone, go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm, the FRC Stand Firm app. That'll give you everything you need at your fingertips to be an engaged, responsible citizen. It's not just another app. This is a special app. This will help you fulfill your duties as a citizen of the United States. So go to the App Store and download Stand Firm app. And on this vote, again, I'd be praying, you know, be praying for the Senate that they would make the right decision. Even, you know, it's, I know a lot of them have made up their minds, but they can still be changed until they cast that vote. And of course, as I mentioned, it's not over. They will be going to the United States Senate, I mean, to the House next. So this issue is not going away anytime soon. We've got to be engaged, involved, and informed. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, find out more. Also, coming up next, the president, he went on the offense against this infanticide. Did the president's powerful response to the left's overreach, did that cause one of the most significant shifts in public opinion on the issue of abortion in recent history? We're going to talk about that next. New Marist poll out. That's coming up next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, in just 1 month, Americans have made a sudden and dramatic shift away from the pro-abortion position toward a pro-life stance. Now, this is according to a new Marist poll. My next guest, Andrew Walther, he's Vice President of Strategy and Communication for the Knights of Columbus. He joins me with analysis of this really fascinating poll. Andrew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I find this, you know, my hunch is that this is a combination of the president going on the offense against what can't be described anything other than infanticide and the left's overreach. But, I mean, how remarkable of a shift is this in public opinion on the issue of abortion that you've seen in your years?
Well, I've been working on this poll with Marist for 11 years, and we've never seen anything this dramatic. Typically, we do this on an annual basis. Sometimes we'll do it a couple of times a year. But for these numbers to shift in 1 month, the pollsters themselves told me it was absolutely stunning, and they've told, you know, any number of media outlets, including Axios, the same thing. It's an absolutely dramatic move. And I think you're absolutely right, and in our conversations with the folks that did the poll, the overreach seems to be driving a lot of this.
All right, so give our listeners what kind of a shift are we talking about? It was double digit. How just lay out the numbers for them.
Sure. Well, you know, you had just a month ago, you had a 38% to 55%, 17-point difference tilting in favor of the pro-choice label. Today, it's 47-47. It's dead even. It's the first time it's been even or tilting towards the pro-life label since 2009. And leading the way in that shift were Democrats, who went from a 55-point advantage for the pro-choice label. They cut that in half to a 27-point advantage. They went from 20% pro-life to 34% pro-life on the Democratic side. Independents also moved substantially in the pro-life direction. And young people, those under 45, were also an enormous driver. They were actually really quite shocking. I'm just looking at the numbers here, but they moved even more than Democrats in just 1 month. They moved, you know, almost 40 points.
Now, Andrew, those are two demographic. I mean, you got the Democrats, obviously, those vote Democratic. But the young traditionally, or at least the vast majority, tend to be more liberal in their voting. That's quite significant when you think of how far out the Democratic Party is on this issue. They could be losing their base.
Well, I think you have a very interesting scenario playing out. I mean, we said when we released our poll in January that it was notable that you had more than 6 in 10 of every party that were seeking stronger restrictions on abortion. You had 6 in 10 plus Democrats. You had 6 in 10 people that were identifying as pro-choice. You had even more with independents and Republicans. I mean, this was something that had a bipartisan flavor to it. And I think that this is a real story. You have both sides of the aisle when it comes to Main Street seeing this issue a certain way. And that is not necessarily connecting with the way that it's being seen by certain folks in Washington. I think when you take the young people, for example, when they go from 28 to 65 pro-choice a month ago to a statistical dead heat, 47-48 today, there's something happening.
I mean, that's a powerful shift in politics in such a short period of time. Now, I mean, more than a third of Democrats, 34%, as well as two-thirds of Republicans, 67% identify as pro-life. Independents divide 46 pro-life, 48 pro-choice. But, I mean, those are big numbers when you consider how far out the Democratic Party has. I'm going to take just one slice. I want to take the presidential contenders, potential contenders, those have actually already announced that they're going to run. They've not in any form or fashion walked back what Virginia's governor said or what Andrew Cuomo in New York did. And so they're kind of stuck with this out there. If they're going to retain that support, or that support could be picked off, if they're going to hold on to it, they're going to have to somehow walk back that radical abortion position that they've staked out.
Well, I think what you have now is such a backlash against these late-term abortion laws in these states, you know, New York, New Mexico, Vermont, Virginia. I think that it's going to make for a very interesting political conversation, especially for any politician that wants to either, A, defend these sorts of things, or B, you know, very overtly identify in terms of less restrictions, fewer restrictions, no restrictions on abortion policy. I think when you end up in that place and you see where the country's headed and how swiftly and dramatically it's reacted to these late-term abortion proposals, this isn't something that anybody's clamoring for. You only have in the poll we do a six-way question, which is really the best measure of where people stand because it gives them the greatest degree of choice and what their actual position is. You have 13% of people that want abortion at any time in the pregnancy. So you don't have this. There's nobody, you know, beating down the door demanding this sort of thing. This is something that is being imposed and is creating exactly the opposite effect in public opinion.
Well, my take on this, Andrew, is that this is the time to continue the education, have the conversations, because it looks like people are open to changing their views on this. So now's the time to have the conversation.
I think your average person is not comfortable thinking of themselves as someone in support of late-term abortion and infanticide.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us. A very fascinating poll. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Andrew Walther with the Knights of Columbus. He's the Vice President of Strategy and Communications. This is, you know, I watch these polls very carefully. Not that, you know, we don't make our decisions based on polls, because we make our decisions based on truth, which is transcendent. But it's interesting as a gauge of where the public is at. And this has been a very significant month. And again, I give a lot of credit to the president for just going straight into the wind on this and taking it head on, as he did in the State of the Union address. The left has overreached on this, and this is a time to have the conversations about what abortion really is. People are open to changing their minds. This poll, the poll results here shows it. And this is not a fly-by-night poll. Maris does this, as he said, once or twice a year. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation regarding life. The movie Unplanned draws an R rating. Why? That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is TonyPerkins.com. All right, on Friday, the new pro-life movie that is coming out on Friday, March the 29th. Go ahead and mark your calendars. It's called Unplanned. Now, I actually watched the movie, did a screening of the movie last week. Now, it depicts the true story of Abby Johnson, who, by the way, was on the program Friday. Now, she oversaw about 20,000 abortions at a Planned Parenthood clinic. Now, R ratings are generally given for nudity, profanity, and violence. Now, unless I nodded off during the movie, there was no nudity, nor was there profanity. So I'm wondering if the movie rating, the MPAA, is saying that abortion is violence. Joining me now to talk about it is Sean Carney. He is the CEO of 40 Days for Life, and he's portrayed in the movie by Jared Lotz. Sean, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you, Tony? Glad to be on.
I'm doing quite well, thank you. I will have to say, now while the movie is graphic because it depicts from a distance, you know, it shows you parts of the abortion process. I mean, it doesn't show everything, but it is stunning. I will say that as one who has a record in the pro-life movement and has seen a lot of things, it does cause you to think. But I was surprised that it drew the rating of R. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's one part of it. I've been working with these guys for 4 years. While they've been making the movie, we've talked a lot about a potential R rating. And in some ways, it's appropriate. It is the definitive movie on abortion, and it's appropriate that the definitive movie on abortion be rated R because abortion is rated R, and Planned Parenthood and how they operate is rated R. And so, you know, they show a chemical abortion. They show a surgical abortion. You're right, just as you said in your opening statement, that's the only thing that could be, considered violent in the movie. And in a lot of ways, it speaks to the accuracy of the movie, that it's rated R, that they accurately portray abortion is violent. And it is hard to watch in the movie. One of the reasons why we all need to see it. And I don't think that you know, the MPAA actually believes that. I think they want to deter the Christian base from seeing the movie, but that's up to us to not let them do that.
Now, let me be very clear here, because I was screening it for a large group of people, and I had people coming and talking to me and stuff. But as I recall, there was no profanity or nudity. So the only reason this would draw an R rating was because of the violence surrounding abortion.
Correct. You're dead on accurate. And, you know, this Planned Parenthood that Abby managed was the location where we started 40 Days for Life. She walked right into my office next door, as they show that in the movie, where we would offer ultrasounds and pregnancy tests. And, you know, her story, it's a beautiful story. It's a conversion story. But the violent part of it is the abortions.
And which is what turned her, basically.
Exactly. She had never witnessed a live abortion. She's asked, because they were shorthanded, to assist with an ultrasound-guided abortion. They do a brilliant job of doing this in the movie, and she witnesses an abortion, and you see it, with her, and go through this with her. And that's what got a rated R movie. You know, there's been so many great pro-life movies, and a lot of it is based around the couple deciding whether they're going to choose life or not. And this is definitely not one of those movies. This is a head-on, inside the abortion industry type of movie. And I think that the Chuck and Carrie, who made the movie, who did God's Not Dead, just absolutely hit a home run with this movie. And it's something every Christian, every pro-lifer, everybody who supports abortion needs to see when it comes out on March 29th.
Yeah, I think that's very important, because we've actually gotten some emails and calls from listeners from Friday when Abby was on the show, and they said, well, wait a minute, why are you promoting an R-rated movie that has nudity and profanity in it? And I just want to make very, very clear, that's not in the movie. That's a part of, I think, the desire to steer, as you said, churches and Christians away from the movie. It's a little bit of deception, but it's also an acknowledgement that abortion is violence. In fact, I would say abortion is the height of hate crime in this country, and it is a true reflection of the violence that we see being promoted in this country, and it's right there in those abortion clinics, and it's seen in that movie.
It is, and there are movies that depict horrific things that are hard to watch that we need to see, movies like The Passion, movies like Schindler's List.
Right.
And, you know, Unplanned doesn't do it to that level. And even the MPAA has in there that they recommend, you know, caution with some teenagers. So it was very mild for their standard. Mm-hmm. And I have 7 kids. I have 13 down to 8 months. And, you know, you can take teenagers to see Unplanned. I've seen it 10 times now over the last couple of months. And, you know, you could take teenagers. This should not be a deterrent. We should see it as a compliment to the accuracy of the movie, that abortion is violent. Abortion is a brutal, barbaric process that right now we have governors advocating for.
Yeah.
And this movie sheds a light on that.
Yeah. Sean, we got to leave it there. By the way, great job. And the movie, I think, very flattering. And it shows the role you played. And I just commend you for that. Sean, thanks so much for joining us. Folks, don't go away. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of this break.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, the Senate is moving toward voting on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. That is beginning. The vote is beginning actually right now. All right, the phone number, we're going to talk about a number of things. We've been discussing the Born Alive vote that is taking place. Also, we've been discussing the new Maris poll. You know, I'd be interested to know if I'm just going to throw it out there. Maybe you've been listening. Maybe you're new to the program. But maybe you would say in the last month you've been listening to this debate, not necessarily this program, but you've been listening to this debate nationally over abortion. And maybe you've changed your mind. Maybe you've had to step back and think about this when we're talking about infanticide. I really would like to hear from you and what led to the change. Now, again, it's I know the vast majority of those that listen to the program are probably pro-life. But, you know, there's folks that are going across the dial that hear the program and maybe you're new to the program. Maybe something in this last month has caused you to stop and really think about this whole issue of abortion. I mean, the fact that we are on the verge as a nation of giving a green light to infanticide. I can't think of anything that's more uncivil. I mean, that's barbaric. But maybe that's you. I'd love to hear from you. The phone number to call in is 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234 or 866-FRC-RADIO. Give me a call. I really would. I would like to hear from you and hear what may have prompted you to change your opinion on the issue of abortion. And I look, if you've listened to this program at any length of time, you know that I treat all of our guests, all of our callers with respect. So I'm just interested, because this is a fascinating poll. It really is, that there's been such a shift in such a short period of time. And I do think it's because it's caused people to stop and think. Do we really want to go here as a nation? And I think it's a, I think it's appropriate at times to stop. Just because we've been doing something, we've allowed something to be as it is, should we continue it when we really have an understanding of what it is? Because once we know, then we're accountable. And I think the nation now knows. And there's no hiding it anymore. All right. Let's go to Fred in Texas. Fred, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, sir. Why are you calling infanticide? It's plain and simple murder of a child. There's no getting around it. You need to say it like it is.
Well, infanticide is the same thing. We're talking about killing an infant, a newborn baby.
I understand that, but you're sanitizing the word at murder by using infanticide. It should be plain and simple. I mean, the Nazis did the same thing, and that's what some of these people are trying to do, is murder children. I don't see a way of infanticide being nothing but a sterilization of the word of murder.
All right. Well, I appreciate your opinion, Fred. Thanks so much for calling. All right, let's go to Pat in Wichita, Kansas. Pat, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Perkins. How are you today? Hey, listen,
I
really enjoy your show. First time caller in. Appreciate it. Listen, I spent 20 years serving in the military, just retired recently, and I want to tell you that as a black American serving to defend this country against enemies, foreign and domestic, there is no greater domestic enemy to the nation and our fabric than abortion. And I think that the thing that we're doing here is Hegelian dialectic piece, and we're getting fed into it. They're moving the ball so far to the left, talking about infanticide, that that's not what the real play is. Because for them and the left, the issue is never the issue. What they're really trying to do is secure and safeguard any abortion when they know that you're going to have Ruth Bader Ginsburg come off the Supreme Court, as well as maybe some of the other justices. And they know that the balance of the court is going to go heavily against abortion. So they are trying to get as much of that safeguarded, even at the state level, when the federal government passes it back down to the states, so that it is safeguarded and locked in. The problem that I have as a black American is that we, as blacks, we are on that mental plantation of the DNC, where we kill ourselves, much to our own chagrin, and say that we're looking for a savior, be it Obama, whoever else it is, but we're really eating all of our watermelon seeds, killing all of our kids, and we're not going to reap that right harvest. So I think that it goes part and parcel with the RNC and with Republican policies, politics, and perspectives, that this is a time that if the Republican Party would actually stand up and say, hey, look, we want to change and upgrade the demographics of our party. It doesn't have to be the party of old black, of old white men, but we can get these black folks who don't have a home. The DNC has said, we don't want you anymore. We want the Latinos, or we want the illegal immigrants. So now you have all of these votes, 99% voting bloc left on the table. Let's do something about it. The policies match the demographic. We want life. Put more of us in those positions of power, just like they just did out in California with the GOP, with the Latina, and help us get the black folks back into the RNC and stand for the policies of life of Lincoln's party. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Pat. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. And you're right on target. In fact, there's several points you made that are I agree with wholeheartedly. Number one, I do think that the Democratic Party, those on the left, New York, they're very clear that they do see the nation moving in the other direction. And so they're pushing for this on the extremes. But I don't think it's going to work. And that's why in looking at this Marist poll, what this is causing people to do is kind of, open pull back the curtain and look at abortion. Instead of just being abortion, they're actually looking at what abortion is. And this is prompting them to think through this and have discussions about it. And I actually think what's going to happen, as we're seeing in this Marist poll, that it's going to cause people to shift, saying, I don't want any part of that. If that's what the abortion that they've been talking about, the Roe v. Wade, if that's what this leads to, I don't want to be a part of that. And so I think that's what's happening. And you're absolutely right when it comes to African Americans, basically 12-13% of the population, they account for a large percent. I was actually looking for the actual numbers of the latest records of the percentage that they Let's see if I, well, I'll find it. But they far exceed their percentage of the population when it comes to their percentage of abortions. And I was just reading a Pew poll over the weekend. That's what I do in my spare time. I read polls. But this was describing people of faith. And what was fascinating, and we know this to be true, but to your point, Pat, that the African-American community, more aligned with the values of evangelical Republican voters than the Democratic Party, because they're driven by their faith. But you're right, they've kind of been held captive almost by the Democratic Party. And I think a more aggressive outreach, bridge building by the by Republican candidates. I would say I'm not so big on the party because, you know, the party can get off center. But I think Republican candidates should, and Republican office holders should engage the African-American community, the minority community in general, but in particular, those that are, I think, disproportionately inclined to share the same values when it comes to life, family, and those things. So thanks so much for the call. Very, very, very good. All right, we're going to work in a few more calls here. Let's go to Courtney in West Virginia. Courtney, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I just want to say, you know, obviously when I was younger, I kind of agreed with abortions a little bit more. But, you know, as I get older, obviously I don't, except in, like, cases of rape, I feel like that should be, you know, early. If it's caught early, then I think it's okay. But, I mean, obviously that's up for interpretation and different viewpoints on that. But I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things where people are trying to take God out of everything, and it's just, it's scary, you know, the way the world is going. And I feel like we definitely need to have that spirituality and Christian, whatever it may be, that guiding force that leads us to make the right decisions.
Let me ask you, through this debate that's been happening nationally over the last month, has it affected your view at all? Has it impacted you at all?
I think it's disgusting, and I can't even believe that it's up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I understand that actually in policy, in many, there are exceptions for rape and incest. I understand those are policy exceptions. Now, personally, in my record as a public official, I have not supported that because I believe that all life is valuable because it's created in the image of God. And it doesn't matter what zip code it might be conceived in or the circumstances, it still has value because I've actually met some of those individuals. Ryan Bomberger is a good friend of mine. He has a background that would suggest that maybe he wouldn't have been here. James Robinson, a good friend of mine, he was conceived in rape, and he has literally ministered to hundreds of thousands of people. So I think we need to even go back and have the thought, rethink that position on what is it, the circumstances that create the value for life, or is it the image in which that life is created?
Yeah, very good points.
But Courtney, I appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling in. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Let's keep rolling here. We got a few more minutes. Let's go to Doug in Texas. Doug, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I think that this debate that's going on is starting to wake people up. Almost every adult, somebody from the age of 15 up, has seen a baby after it was born. And, I mean, these freaks are actually talking about murdering a baby that most people look at. I'm sorry, when I see a baby born, I think they're pretty ugly when they first come out. But most people go,
I don't know. All mine pretty. Looked pretty good, Doug. I was so thrilled to see mine. All mine were beautiful.
I didn't say that they weren't thrilled. I wasn't thrilled to see them, but I don't think in any way, shape, and form that that wrinkled thing is really very cute. Now, after it's out a little while and it starts to plump out, yeah, it's very cute, you know? But most people have seen this, and they see these freaks. These freaks are pure-out Satanists. In almost all forms of Satanism, murder and death is, and the more violent the death, the more the kick they get out of it. I knew a man who was a Satanist who worked for the police. He was born again, but he had been a Satanist. I was a Satanist for a while. And this man used to work for the police, and they found a baby in Louisiana that had been stabbed to death with a hat pin, because these freaks think that they get something out of the pain and suffering causes the spirit inside of a human being to become more and more intense. And these freaks actually think that they get to absorb this energy that they take, the soul of what they what they kill. I mean, and people are starting to wake up.
I think you're right, Doug. I think people are starting to wake up. And I think that is the moment that we have that we need to take advantage of as Christians in this country to have these conversations. What has happened is that the door has been opened for us to have these conversations right now, and we just need to be prepared to do it. The facts are on our side. The science is on our side. We know that these are human beings. These are human beings. These are children. I know there was one senator, Tim Kaine, actually talked about using the term fetus after a baby was born. I mean, come on, give me a break. It's a baby. It's a baby in the womb. It's certainly a baby when it comes out. But this is an opportunity because I think people are rethinking it. They didn't. For a lot of folks, this has just been a political issue. Really, it really has. For the last 30 years, it's been a political issue. But I think it's gone beyond that now, where people are forced to think about where we're going as a nation, to where we would literally take the lives or refuse to give aid to a baby who was born. It is murder. And I think we should have those conversations. And I believe that we can win people over, not by, you know, I'm not saying people do this, there are few but not many, lovingly have these conversations about the value of each and every human life. All right, folks, out of time. The vote is still taking place. We're going to be talking about this tomorrow night. We'll give you, we'll probably have one of the senators on discussing this and next steps as well. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.